This is Real Talk Film.
Oh, we're bringing the greatest in badassery.
Wait, what? We're burning?
No,
what?
We're bringing.
Bringing. I heard burning. No. I was like, we're not burning anything. No. Don't tell me when we're burning things.
Burn down the halls of justice.
We're not doing that either.
But we are about to start a show.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Real Talk with Doug and Jeremy. We're just two insignificant views on film. Check us out at realtalkfilm.com. You can also visit our Facebook at facebook.com/realtalkfilm or Twitter at twitter.com/realtalkfilm.
I always dance to our intro. It's just fun.
I dance welcome to them later in the show.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Real Talk. I am one of your hosts, the good-looking one, Jeremy.
And I'm Doug, the much, much better-looking one. And taller.
Both of those are incorrect. I think what you have on me is the beard.
Oh, man, my beard. Dude, it's obnoxious.
It's an epic beard.
And when you saw it last, I had, like, just got it, like, trimmed.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have not, like, trimmed it since, like, December. And so
what was
before
the
I saw
decision?
You, I mean, it was this ridiculously huge beard, and I trimmed down the sides, but still really long.
What
but
was
I
mean, the decision behind the beard?
Why not?
So you just, I'll do it.
I've always had a beard. Like, I mean, I've had a beard since I could grow facial hair.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say since I've been a girl.
Yeah, ever since I've been a girl, I've had a beard, and it's just easier just let it grow. No, but one of my friends grows, like, just the most gnarliest beard, like, lumberjack awesomeness. And we ran into each other on the holidays, and at that point, I had a pretty big, bushy beard, and his was, like, even better. And we're just like, dude, let's just see how long we can go before, like, we just have to cut it off, you know, before it gets, like, because you eventually hit a point where it's just, you can't breathe.
Does it get itchy? Is it too itchy for you?
No, I don't get itchy at all. Because once it gets long, it's not itchy
this
at all.
This is out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you start getting food in it, you know, because you just can't, it's just everywhere.
And it just lasts. I mean, do you pick it out, like, for later?
No.
Save it for later?
Yeah, you know, just tuck it back inside. You know, feed the birds that have built a nest inside your beard, and
just like, you know, the cartoons.
Yeah, but I went and got my hair cut because my hair was getting really shaggy too. And while I was there, the dude was just like, "Do you want me to get your sideburns?" And I was like, "Just do it." So he trimmed down the sides because they were like
crazy.
I kind of look like Wolverine, where it was like going out at the sides. Like my hair just had like this. Oh, it looked ridiculous.
It looked gnarly.
So
awesome. Well, before we get this show started, I wanted to plug a couple places that we're going to be at here this summer and even going into the fall. This June, we will be reporting from the Screw Attack Gaming Convention. That's going to be on June 21st through the 23rd. That's going to be in Dallas, so you definitely should go to it. If you don't know where it's going to be at the Hyatt Regency in Dallas, of course. They are going to have a massive dealer room with up to 80 vendors, a huge main stage where 1,500 of you can pile in. They're going to have a couple panel rooms, a game room with arcade featuring consoles all across the generations, so all the way from the NES all the way up here. Special guests from Gearbox, as well as YouTube celebrities. We've got Iron Man of Gaming Tournament, live concerts, tabletop gaming, 80,000 square feet of convention space. It is going to be incredible. You shouldn't miss it. Tickets are not that expensive. Come out and see us. Yeah. So
it's going to be awesome. I didn't realize how big their conventions were, and then I was... looking up some of their stuff the other day, and looking at the pictures from the last one, mm-hmm. like ridiculous. There's a lot of people, like, and it's just weird to me that we live in this area and like this is a one I hadn't heard of until this year, and just just under the, I don't know, I guess I lived under a rock that year.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And we've got 24 days until the convention, and we're gearing up for it. We just got confirmation that we'll be representing Real Talk there as press, so we'll be able to bring you guys some pretty cool interviews with some of the celebrities, and we'll be able to cover it like we did in our last convention with the Dallas Comic Con. And if you haven't checked out our videos, please, please, please go to the website. You'll find a couple videos there. One of them is Jason talking with all of the cosplayers and generally kind of being kind of an ass, but in a funny way.
It's funny. I know that you got more.
It's not being disrespectful.
I was there for some of it, and I want to see the rest of it.
I am planning on doing a full edit to piece together all the interviews. I'm going to do a full one, so that way you can see all the interviews, and I think people would get enjoyment out of that.
Because you promised me Doctor Who.
I did, and I'm going to bring them. I'm going to bring them out. And so the other interview we did was with Apple, which he runs the Alamo City Comic Con, and we're going to be going down there as well. That one's not until October. Okay, so the dates... Let me see if I pulled the dates up here. I thought I had them. Yes, October 25th through the 28th. It's a kind of a Halloween kind of deal. It's going to be pretty incredible down there. They have got some really, really cool stuff going on. They got the DeLorean. They've got some Batmobiles coming. They've got some stars from The Walking Dead. They're also going to have a couple of the stars from Back to the Future. Lots of comic book stuff going on. It's going to be at the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center in San Antonio, October 25th, 26th, and 27th. So
that one looks pretty cool. I'm curious to see who they pull in from The Walking Dead.
I am too. We're going to be going down there. Like I said, it should be a good time. We're still working on, of course, press for that, but we'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there. So yeah. Pretty exciting convention news that we're going to be covering. So.
Yeah, they've listed a bunch of their comic book artists that are coming, which look pretty. It's pretty awesome, but I'm curious about the celebrities that they have promised.
Yeah, we're gonna have to keep up to date on their website, and I'm sure they're gonna reveal it. But right now, right here, we're gonna jump in some headlines.
And now the headlines with Doug and Jeremy. We're bringing you the biggest news stories of the week.
I thought it would be pretty interesting to play a clip of Josh Whedon talking about Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. So I thought we'd jump into that because I know that you have a little interesting news yourself about it.
Yep.
So let's jump in.
All right.
Can you tell us a little scoop about Avengers 2? Some type of, come on, spoiler, something? Is there any, there's new characters?
There are new characters. I've already said that we're going to have a brother-sister team, the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, who were great mainstays of the Avengers when I was reading the comic as a kid.
No, I don't know. I don't know either of them.
You don't?
No, I don't know these guys. So this is Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Mm-hmm. And did you cast these guys yet?
Not yet. We're doing that now.
You can do, this could be Selena Gomez. Right, that's pretty good. And that could be Channing Tatum. Done. I just did your job for you. Isn't that awesome? That's pretty cool. Now get me an autographed copy of Alice, please, from your dad. I'd love that. But that's pretty rad. I mean, you guess so. Are you writing it now?
Yes.
And why did you pick these two characters to bring in?
Well, besides the fact that I grew up reading them, their powers are very visually interesting.
Oh, that's good.
One of the problems I had on the first one was everybody basically had punchy powers.
Like, I can hit. I can also hit.
I can punch as well. I can punch harder. Yeah, that gets boring. So two-hour movie. You're like, all right, can he do anything else? Yeah.
Hopefully it didn't get too boring.
No,
but
never
coming into the second one, it's like, kid, you know, he's got super speed. She can weave spells and a little telekinesis, get inside your head. There's good stuff that they can do that'll
help
sort of keep it fresh.
I love how your brain works, my friend. And now you're doing shake.
So that is a little hint of what to come for Avengers 2. What do you think about that?
I'm excited. I love what he's done with the Avengers, and I'm thrilled about the second one, and I'm excited to see these two characters. Another part that you hinted at before that I've heard other news, and they even hint at it in this article that we're looking at, that says rumors swirled about a Marvel versus 20th Century Fox pissing match.
I always like it when they use that term.
Casted Evan Peters as Quicksilver for X-Men Days of Future Past. And so there's, like I said, kind of a pissing match going on. Whedon says, hey, we're going to have Quicksilver. And Bryan Singer says, oh, yeah, well, we're going to have this guy play him in our movie.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the rumors going around are saying that Fox has said that Marvel can't. It's ridiculous to me since it's Marvel characters. But Fox has the right to him. But they're saying that Fox, if Quicksilver is going to be in Avengers 2, they cannot say that he is related to Magneto in any way, which if you're a comic book nerd, you know that he's his son. And that they can't refer to either of them as mutants, which both of them are as well.
See, that's very strange that I think Marvel probably did a boo-boo there by giving Fox the rights to those characters.
I think, well, they both fall
maybe into, they fall into the X-Men kind of
they are, and that's the thing about the X-Men universe, or not the X-Men universe, the Marvel universe, is that things have always crossed over.
Yeah.
And so it's one of the, you know, they were X-Men, I think they were originally X-Men that eventually came over to the Avengers, therefore they technically have the rights to them in X-Men because that's where they originated. Now they can't bring in Iron Man because he is not an X-Men because he's not a mutant.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, and like I don't know if they could bring in Spider-Man either because he's a mutant, but only because he was bitten by a radioactive spider and that mutated his DNA. So that's a little, you know, but he's not going to be at Xavier's school for mutants,
right? I think what will end up happening is we'll get a I think we'll get a Spider-Man at some point. It's going to take some big contracts in order to work it out because I know that Marvel doesn't want to give up the Avengers paycheck to anybody.
Yeah. And, you know, I've talked about how I'd love to see a crossover, and this is going to be one of those instances where are we going to see it or not? Are we going to see them cross over at any point with
I just really hope that these two characters aren't like a repeat of Scarlett Johansson and what's his face?
Hawkeye?
Hawkeye and Black Widow. Because I felt like they're just kind of, they didn't really need to be there, and they're not really a part of the event. Like, I don't know. It just was kind of weak sauce in my eyes.
Yeah, and I don't know what his plans are. I mean, like, he seems to have a passion for these characters. You know, he's said in his interview with Jimmy Fallon that they were a huge part of the comics when he read them. So maybe he'll write them in such a way. Maybe that's a way that we'll maybe see less of Tony Stark, because maybe they're going to replace him with two characters.
It's going to be tough, man. He's one of the main anchors of that film.
And I think we've talked about this too. What I would like to see is I would like to see them, because I think his worry is that he's, you know, 50 and that he doesn't know if he can take that toll on his body anymore. Well, then move him into the role that
Nick Fury's in.
And Tony Stark eventually took that role for a bit in the comics. Anyways, he became the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He
so
was
just,
that,
just put him in that position.
He was in that role in a couple of the video games as well.
Yeah, so keep him in the movies. Keep his like sarcastic, you know, I'm Tony Stark humor and stuff, but just put him in charge. And then, you know, maybe one scene that's all CGI where he's in his suit, you know? That way you can have it and not have it at the same time.
Yeah, that's true, because he doesn't necessarily need to do the stunts. I mean, he could just be flying around in the air, dropping
bombs.
That's
one of the things I've never understood. I mean, the dude's in a suit. What does it matter if it's him or not?
Yeah, because it's, you know, actors. Here's the deal, is because the actors want to have their face shown as much as possible and not be covered up. And so he did all the stunts because he's like, oh, well, let's do this one without the helmet.
Yeah, and that happened a lot, especially in the third movie where he wasn't in the suit as much, or he
was
like half
in the suit.
And
we've already covered this. He was in the suit 10% of the film. So,
yep.
In DC news, Man of Steel is of course coming out on June 14th. So we're getting a lot of news bits here, but Henry Cavill, who is of course Superman, plays Superman / Clark Kent. He's already come out in an interview with SFX and said that he thinks it would be interesting with a Batman-Superman conflict movie. So Batman versus Superman, in a movie, and he said that he is down with that movie and that he would be a part of it without questions. Never mind. Okay, moving on.
How do you pit those two characters against each other?
Well, they started to. They had it planned. I don't remember how long ago, but they did have a movie in the works, which was Batman versus Superman, which in the beginning, they were against each other. They were pit against each other, but then they became friends. They respected each other. And then, of course, they teamed up to take out the baddies.
Right. It's one of those things where it's just like, how do you make a movie with two good guys and make them go against each other? Because, I mean, I don't know how you do it story-wise. I mean, because we've had three... I mean, okay, this is also assuming that it's the Batman that we've come to love over the past few years. I just know how you would not root for him.
I know. I mean, like, he's the underdog. He'd be like, okay, go Batman.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
like, Superman, you're a little overpowered here. Like, how
like, you got everything on your side.
By a human.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I'm a huge Batman fan, but I'm really, 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 really liking everything that I'm seeing so far from the Superman trailers and the suit.
Yep.
I love the suit. I know you're not a huge fan of it. I know that we talked at the movie theater and you said that you didn't like the design of it so much.
Of what? The Superman?
Yeah.
No, I like Superman.
I swear that we were standing there at the poster and you were like, see, I don't like the lacing and stuff. I don't like that they changed that.
Not I.
Man, there were so many people at that movie. Okay, I could have it wrong.
No, I like it too because they got rid of the red underwear.
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they? I didn't even notice that. Oh, my goodness. I was so caught up in like how good the chest piece looked and everything else. I didn't even notice that the underpants are gone.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, color me surprised. Well, gosh darn it. In other news, Universal is developing a reboot of Surprise. Time Cop. Dun, dun, dun.
A reboot? Man, that's never happened before. Surprising news.
You are getting it here first.
Reboot it.
This is huge news in the Hollywood community. A reboot, a first of its kind. We've never seen this before. It's going to be incredible. Expect news every day from us. So Jean-Claude Van Damme was the star of a hit movie in 1994 called Time Cop. If you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend seeing it. It's probably one of his best films. I really, really enjoyed it. Now, this is, of course, the 1994 Jeremy talking.
Yep.
But if I watched it today, it might be ridiculous. But I don't want to watch it because of the fact that I don't want to ruin it for myself. But I did enjoy it very much when I saw it. So.
Yep. Oh, man.
You have nothing to add. You're just like, yep, that's...
Who's gonna play the time cop? Because Van Damme's not doing it.
I think that he's gonna probably be a. I wouldn't be surprised if he was a kind of, you know, they threw him in there for a cameo, but there's no talk on it yet. There is just
the news. Who you would like to see?
Oh, who I would like to see? That's a tough one, man. I could see. Boy, that's a toughie, dude.
Yeah.
I'd go... I don't know. I can't even think of a name. Like, because there's so... Like, I was going to say I could definitely see Joseph Gordon-Levitt doing it, but he already did a Time movie.
Yeah, that's my initial thought, too. It was like, oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And I was like, oh, wait, I've seen this movie. It was called Looper.
Exactly. And so I was like, oh, can't do that. And then I was thinking that you could probably have Mark Wahlberg do it.
Yep, that was my second choice.
That'd be good. I'm glad that we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
And then if I had a third choice, it might be a good Paul Walker movie.
Really? That would probably be right up his alley.
He kind of has that kind of Jean-Claude Van Damme typecast to him.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe he could pull it off. But some Jurassic pork. Some Jurassic Pork news. Some Jurassic Park news. They're talking that, but Sam Neill, who of course played Dr. Grant in the first movie and the third movie,
yep,
is coming out and saying that he does not think he'll get a callback for it, so that leads him to believe that it's going to be a reboot.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's no news. I mean, the headline says it claims Jurassic Park 4 is a reboot. He has no connection to the film whatsoever, so he's not going to know anything. It's just a news article written up to try to, you know, just kind of, I think it's just a headline. But it does lend itself to the question of, what do you think? Do you think that it should be a continuation of the story, or do you think it should be a complete reboot?
Well, there's a way to reboot a franchise while
keeping its roots.
Exactly. Like,
because here's the thing. We read off news that they're actually filming on the same locations as the first movie. Like, right. They've already gone out and they're taking pictures, and of course they're visiting areas that they've shot the first movie at, and that's where they're planning, they're shooting it on the same island.
Right. I think what I would do is to reboot it while keeping the same franchise is just that, okay, what's his, oh man, what was his name?
I don't know.
The guy in charge of Engine. What was his name?
You're going to have to, hold on. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. He's died, essentially, in this world. He's
so
passed.
Maybe have his sons trying to
Cash in
and redo and get the dinosaurs back in their cages.
Yeah,
and then all hell breaks loose again.
Exactly.
Or they are successful at it. They open the park and there's like millions of people visiting year after year, and it's a huge thing, but then something happens and then the entire place just gets overrun with dinosaurs and there's millions of people and they all die.
Exactly.
All of them.
That's how you do it. It reopened 3 years ago. You know, it's had successful a couple of years. It's bringing in a ton of money, tons of visitors. And then just, you know, what, you know,
the weather
changes. And like
the weather changes, and it's almost, and it's on the day that they're celebrating the father, it's the anniversary of when he planned on opening the park. They're doing this huge dedication to him.
Yeah.
And then all hell breaks loose again.
Yeah. Some huge storm rolls in, you know, because they're out and, you know, where like typhoons and stuff, I'm sure, would hit. You know, everyone's safe indoors. They have a system in place, but they can't predict everything, and the power goes down, and the dinosaurs get out.
Oh, man, do we have this locked down.
That is how I would make this movie. That way it's a complete reboot because you've got a completely new cast, including, I mean, whoever, you'd say you're following a family this time, okay?
Yeah.
But then maybe we're also following some of the employees there, maybe the son of whatever his name is.
Of course. And somehow they got to intertwine with the family because maybe it's his kids. And then he's like, I should have taken my father's advice.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
And, I mean, it'd be crazy. That'd be nuts.
That is how I would do it. Now, to go back to Sam Neill, they have a quote from him where he's saying, I'm told it's a big reboot.
Oh my gosh. That'd be so cool because then, like, they've got all the new technology because they knew it happened before, and they're just like, "Oh, don't worry about this. We're prepared." But then that all their stuff doesn't work. Yeah. I mean, that'd be nuts.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. So they bring back the granddaughter or whoever she is.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And she's like the one. She's like, "Okay, I built the security system. This isn't going to happen again." She dies in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's who they bring back is the grandkids. They're the ones who are like, you know what? Our grandfather was passionate about it. Let's bring it back. Let's do it.
Yeah, like, we experienced everything that went wrong. We know how to do it right. We've invested all this. You know, he left us all this money. We're going to do it.
He left us the island.
Yeah, we're going to do it right. They do it right. But, like I said, you can't predict everything.
She dies in the first 5 minutes.
Dude, when the shit hits the fan, she's the first to go. Because you're like, yeah, man, it's you.
And you know what? And it's gotta be a death like she falls on the ground and a velociraptor grabs her feet and she just gets dragged into the woods.
Yep.
And you're just like, and then that's an ode to the kind of the dude. Yeah. Oh, pretty. Oh, what clever girl.
Clever girl.
Clever girl.
Yeah. Oh man, you know, it'd be really funny. Is that like she sees it coming and she's just like, shit. Like just that like complete like dang it.
Yeah, like, it'd be like, why did I do this?
Yeah,
why?
Well, of course.
Mm-hmm. It'd be so awesome.
Surrendered to the fact that she's about to get eaten by velociraptors. Just fucking,
oh, you know what? We can have, and then you can have like, this is getting a bit ridiculous, but we can have that the fat guy. He died in the first one, but maybe somehow bring him back to where he hacks into the system and shuts it down.
Samuel Jackson's still there.
Somehow he comes back. He's got no arms, and he's just
he's missing an arm.
I told you not to do this again.
Hold on to your butt, but not with your right hand because I don't have it. So I'm going to hold on with my left. But if you'll hold my cigar, hold on to my cigar.
Yeah, they've upgraded him. He doesn't smoke cigarettes anymore. It's cigars.
Yeah. Dude. Who do we have to call?
I know. This is great. It'll be so awesome. Oh, man. So, as we know, the last week, for those who don't know, we know, but last week, Microsoft held a huge reveal event for the Xbox successor. Well, I guess, I mean, it's a successor to the Xbox 360, and they're calling it the Xbox One, not to be confused with the first Xbox. This is the third, called the Xbox One.
Yep.
The reason why this is on a film podcast that we're talking about it is Microsoft has enlisted Steven Spielberg and 343 Industries to film a Halo television series exclusive to the Xbox One.
Yep.
Now, we don't know too much about it, but we do know there has been word that this is going to be on the same level as Game of Thrones.
That's what they were talking about during the thing, is trying to make it like awesome movie quality kind of content available to Xbox
and users. So we're starting to see a paradigm shift here with TV is not TV anymore, because all of these different services are getting their own exclusive TV shows.
Yeah, and I had actually read a couple of months ago, and I don't know if we talked about it or not, or if I just saw it online somewhere, but Xbox was in talks with possibly getting their hands on Heroes and rebooting Heroes. I think that their plan is, and I don't think they really went over it during their reveal, event, I guess, whatever you're going to call it, event. Maybe they'll talk more about it at E3, but there's rumors going on that they're trying to launch their own streaming service, similar to like Netflix and stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And that makes me wonder if that's part of what this Halo thing is going to be, as part of their launch, maybe for this new series. But that there was rumors that they were trying to get the rights to Heroes to relaunch that. Now, completely new characters, new story and stuff, so we probably won't see Zachary Quinto in it. But I liked Heroes first two seasons, so I wouldn't mind seeing it come back.
I liked it until the point where I said, wow, they never team up and they are never going to fight anybody.
Yeah,
but I think that it's incredible here. We could dive so deep into what the Xbox One is all about. I'm just going to hit a couple things with what I sent you. Now, they're going to have an all-in-one box with streaming and with apps and with actually your cable guide on the actual Xbox. And so you will never need to switch inputs again because it'll be an all-in-one box. You'll be able to watch TV while Skyping somebody and watching the show with them. You'll be able to look at, you know, your guide. You'll be able to launch your movies. It seems like a pretty incredible service.
Yeah, I like, okay, like right now I have three things plugged into my TV, mm-hmm. and I have to unplug one of them.
Right.
Because I only have two HDMI ports. Mm-hmm. But I have my Blu-ray player, the Roku, and the Xbox.
Right.
So to me this is awesome just because one, okay, it has a Blu-ray player built into it, like finally, duh. Like that, if it didn't have one in it, this would be retarded.
Right.
So that's nice that I can combine my Xbox and my Blu-ray player. That's great. But then the whole like kind of having the TV thing in it too, like while it is a gaming console first, and I mean it didn't really hit on that during their little spiel.
Not this one. This is
not at all.
No, I mean that's one of the things that people are in uproar about is that.
Yeah, but and here's my thinking behind it. Like, okay, dude, this is just the reveal. They get all this crap out of the way,
and then
that way when E3 hits, they don't have to talk about it.
Now, the only huge problem. Now, there's been a huge backlash on the internet about this thing, and we're of course we'll try not to get into it too deep here because we're not a gaming podcast, but this does have to do with the film industry and TV.
However, we are going to a gaming convention.
Well, we're going to a gaming convention, and that's one thing I want to hit up, is that while we're at the gaming convention, we are going to discuss movies and how they're intertwining with the gaming industry, because they are meshing together quite a bit, and we're seeing cross-pollinization with stars being voiceover actors, and of course video games being made into movies and movies into video games. So
yeah, we got a ton of those coming out this summer too.
Yeah, so that's one of the main appeals that appealed to me about going to there. But the Xbox One will have, you'll always have to be connected to the internet. That is number
false.
One.
They've actually said that is not true.
It will be for their DRM. They said that they will be able to, you'll be able to turn it off for a certain amount of times if you need to. If the power goes out or if you lose your internet, that's fine. But the device will need to be connected most of the time. That is true. The other thing is that Kinect has to be connected all the time, no matter what. So it is always listening and always watching. Now, I know a lot of people will say...
I've seen two things that have discredited both of those claims.
I have seen 15,000 that have supported it.
I'm just saying, like, they from Xbox themselves, before their launch, saying, like, well, okay, they do want you to be connected all the time. That's part of their thing.
That's part of their DRM. Because
what they want to do, like our Rokus don't turn off unless you unplug them.
Correct, but there's a big difference. They're not.
I know
listening.
It's the Kinect being like connected, but also think about okay, like the Roku, you don't have to update anything, and that's part of their thing about always being connected. Running in the background is that you're just constantly getting all the updates you need.
I'm not so concerned.
I'd have to do 20 upgrades.
I'm not concerned so much about being connected because all of our devices are connected. The problem that I have with it, and I mean, the PC is always connected and all my stuff is on there. I don't have a problem with that. The problem that I have is that the Kinect has to be connected, and then that sends data to Microsoft at all times. Now, Microsoft has said, listen, yes, we want the Kinect is going to be connected at all times, but we know that privacy concerns about everybody. The Kinect only listens for specific things that are being said, but it is always listening, and privacy is a huge concern when it comes to this kind of thing, because obviously, they want to know how to best sell ads to you. That's the whole purpose of having an always connected device with audio and video. That has been something that's
so
touched on.
I've been watching King of the Hill lately, mm-hmm. and you sound like Dale Gribble. Just like, they're constantly watching.
Here's the thing. It's very well known that all these companies are looking for different ways to market to you. I'm not saying that it's an invasion of privacy, but it's definitely a way for them to know your wants and your needs and to cater to you better. And that's something that does pair. I mean, you can look at it from a perspective of of me being paranoid, but privacy is still a huge concern out there, and there's not a lot of regulations for the privacy of this kind of sort of thing. And I'm not it may come off as me knocking the Xbox. I'm not knocking it. Like I said before, it everything that they've come out with sounds amazing, an all-in-one device and everything like that. But there are concerns that legitimate people will have, and I consider myself a hardcore gamer, and like I've been a huge advocate of the Xbox over the years, and still this bothers me. It does bother me.
Meh. Because the one, you don't have to have. I mean, you will get the console with the the Kinect and stuff, but there's.
I can almost guarantee you that the Kinect will have to be connected.
You won't. You absolutely won't, because that's isolating a lot of their gamers by doing that.
They're isolating everybody by saying that they have to have an internet connection.
Well, and also think about people. Okay, right off the bat. Okay. I'm sure there are deaf people out there that love to play video games that probably cannot talk in a way that thing would be able to recognize their voice.
Right. Listen, I'm not saying that you have
I'm just
to,
saying
like, you don't have then, to then use that, it. Of you course you're not going to be able
you
have
won't
to
have
you don't
to it'll
have
probably
to use
be
it.
Recommended, but you won't have to. You
right, but it'll have to be have plugged to. In. It'll have to be plugged in.
No, it won't.
Yes, it will. I guarantee you, dude. I guarantee you. It has to be plugged in.
It won't.
It will. Okay.
It will not.
Listen, we will come back to this again in the coming months. I'm sure that we're going to talk a lot about it. Both of us are on different ends here with the policies. Come E3, we're going to learn a lot more, and that's in 2 weeks. We're going to learn a lot more about this device. And we will.
They're not going to make something that you have to do right now. With it being non-essential, it may again, they'll want you to have it on, they'll want you to have that plugged in, but it will not be a necessity.
It will be a necessity.
Doug, it won't.
I know
they
you...
literally can't do that. Like
yes,
it was
they
it's
Why
against
can't
the
they
law
it?
To force people to have this on. Also, people buy
if
this
it's
stuff,
a part
don't have
of the
internet
system,
connection, so they can't
okay,
assume that you're going to have it.
Okay, Doug, it's a part of their DRM strategy. It's the same thing with a PC. They do it on the PC. They can do it with the Xbox. And the same thing, the same goes with a controller. You have to have a controller in order to play it, right? Well, the Kinect is a part of the system. They bundle it with every system, and it'll have to be plugged in. I know we can argue this back and forth, and no one's going to win here. So that's why I'm saying in 2 weeks, when we hear more news about it, we will get even more straightened out. Because there's not going to be a winner in this argument. There's just not. There's no way I'm going to convince you, and you're not going to. And there's no way you're going to convince me. Because right
I
now,
I just don't understand how you can say when Xbox has said themselves that they're not. You don't have to have it plugged in. When
they have not because
to
they have not.
And then you're still saying that you have to.
Because they
like,
haven't.
I'm going
clarified.
For the Kinect again with the internet thing. That's one of those. Like I understand that they want it to be connected all the time. I get that because I love having the Roku, not having to update.
Okay,
because it does it on its own.
The reason why I can discredit it is because they haven't detailed it. They may have said it, but they haven't detailed it. And
well, because they're holding off to information for E3 to give off more information
why,
about it. They've been held off on so much more information.
And
about
that's
all
why
the other
I said we will cover it again in 2 weeks. because there's no concrete information. It's not concrete. No matter what you say, it was just a press release because they're doing damage control at this point. It's a fact that the internet is just on fire with anger over everything that they've done, so they're trying to put out fires until E3. So
a lot of this stuff even hit before they even announced it, like
right.
The whole not having to be connected because there was all the rumors going around. And so I don't know if you saw it, but they sent out like an office memo to everyone like, hey, can we stop saying that you have to be connected because you don't? Like we want to just before we even announce this thing, just go ahead and just that because it's not true. We want it to be connected a lot for the auto updates and stuff, but it doesn't have to be connected.
Well, we will get 100% confirmation. Come E3.
Yeah.
All right. So coming up next, we have our wonderful list of who made the most money in Hollywood in our box office battlefield.
It's the box office battlefield!
That should have played before our last story. coming in at number five, making $24.6 million, is Iron Man 3 with a total of $373 million. Number four is a movie I went to go see, which is Epic, making $44 million. Number three is Star Trek Into Darkness with $48 million, with $157 million total. So now there's $7 million in the black in 2 weeks. Not bad. Number two is The Hangover Part 3, making $51 million for a total of $62.5 in its first week. I know that they're disappointed with that number because of how well the last two did, but I think everybody is pretty hungover at this point. Number one is Fast and Furious 6, coming in with $122 million in its first week. People love this movie. It is insane how much money this makes.
That's crazy.
$122 million. That's nuts, dude.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. For something that has died, a franchise that practically died almost, they brought it back, and it is now one of the top grossing franchises out there. That's not insane. Even a comic book movie. It's just a car movie. So it's kind of nuts, man. It's kind of nuts. But overall, great weekend, man. You're talking three movies that released this week, one making $122 million, one making $51 million, and the other making $44 million, while a movie from last week made $48 million. Incredible weekend. Yeah. Incredible for Hollywood. Just great.
Man, so Epic came out, and Epic was that DreamWorks?
Yeah.
But number eight is still The Croods. Like, that thing came out like 3 months ago.
It's still going strong.
I know, and it's just like, man, I mean, it only made 1.6 this
weekend.
Yeah, it's
on its way
But, I mean, you have two movies out, and they're still in the top 10. Two movies from, like, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be a good summer, man. Going to be a good summer.
Number nine is still 42.
Yeah. I'm going to wait for it to get down to 42 just so I can announce that 42 is number 42.
Finally, 42 is number 42. Finally.
Ah, man. So that brings us to, what are you watching?
Are you watching closely?
I got to get an extended cut because I know you like to dance to it.
I'm dancing.
You're dancing right now. So I watched a wonderful little movie with my family. We actually took the family out to the Coyote Drive-In here in Fort Worth, Texas. Brand new, just opened a few weeks ago. I wrote up a review on the website if anybody wants to go check it out. Did you like my review?
I did. I would have liked a little more specifics about some of the theater. Like, I saw that you had to tune your radio. I wonder, like, how that
Oh, sounded. You just, there's on the screen, there is it just says tune to 90.7. The range on
it
is
fine.
Woo! The range on that thing is incredible. We went all the way up 35, almost, where did we get? Oh my gosh, it had to be like almost 4 miles away, and we could still hear it, the movie. It was crazy.
That's awesome. I think I wouldn't even go to the theater. I would just, like, park nearby and then just listen to a movie.
It was a really cool experience. I recommend it to anybody. It's really neat. It may not be for you, but it's definitely one of my it's a cool thing for me to do. I like to do it. I usually go down to Ennis anyways, and about twice a summer. But now I'm going to probably spend. I probably won't do the giant movies of the summer there, but the ones that I'm like, oh yeah, I'll check it out, you know, I'll go to the drive-in for that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've never been to a drive-in before, so the whole concept to me is foreign, except for what I've seen in movies like Pee-wee's Big Adventure and Grease. So
it is definitely something you need to experience. Maybe you and I should go out to a movie next week or something, like, on and check it out. Or maybe not. I don't know. Two guys.
I mean, what type of car? I mean, I don't know what type of car you drive, so I don't know, like, what you rolled up in. Like, because we were talking about it this week, and Katie and I were talking about it, and just like, hey, we should check it out. because some of our friends wanted to see Star Trek.
It doesn't matter if you got a Volvo or if you got a 1987 Oldsmobile. If you got decent speakers that aren't blown out, it's gonna be fine.
Well, I just mean because, you know, that seems like one of those things where you almost wish you had like a truck or, you know, a Suburban or something big.
I have a mid-sized vehicle, mid-sized car. Worked out great. You just sit in the front seat, watch it, and enjoy it. I mean, you can bring your truck up there. A lot of people do. They back it in, then they pump the sound out. They drop the back of the car and lay in there. And I'm sure both experiences are great, but you're not losing out on it's still something special if you only got a car.
So that sounds awesome. I mean, I don't know. I want to check it out.
The whole experience. You know,
they're doing like double features, and it was like Star Trek, and then like.
Gatsby oh yeah, we watched. Crap. We watched Epic the first one, and then Iron Man 3 was the second.
Yeah,
and so for $8 a person, you get those two movies. It's a great value. The experience is worth having in your life because it's so nostalgic. Like as soon as you drive in, you're just like transported to the 50s and 60s.
It's awesome.
It's really awesome. So I definitely recommend it. But we went to go see Epic. And the community rated it a 6.8. It's about a teenager that finds herself transported into a deep forest setting where a battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil are taking place. She bands together with a ragtag group of characters in order to save their world and ours. I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, the cast and stuff like grabbed my attention. I thought that the cast looked awesome. You know, Aziz Ansari, Christoph Waltz.
He never disappoints. He was great.
Yeah, but then the trailer didn't do it for me.
The trailer didn't do it for me as well. It kind of fell flat, and the movie did kind of fall flat as well. It had its moments, but it definitely was not a kid/adult movie. It was just a kid's movie.
Yeah, I appreciate the movies. I've got something for everyone, and this one didn't seem like it was it.
It was okay. It was all right. That's why I gave it a 6. It was just kind of middle of the road.
Yeah, so. like you would, if Colin wanted to watch it later in life, you'd let him watch it. Not later in life, but just like when it comes out, you'd be like, oh yeah, we'll buy that for you. But
yeah,
it's not one that
but
you
I'm not going to sit down with you again.
Oh my God, I have to own this for myself.
He's going
to
be like, Daddy, will you watch it? I'll just look at him like, no. You crazy? I ain't doing that again.
I mean, because, you know, for me, like, the Muppets, like, I love the Muppets. Me and too. So the Muppet movie, when it came out 2 years ago, you know, that was, like, an instant buy for me. Even though it was a kid's movie.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
That, like, definitely. Nostalgic, you know, adult stuff, too. And,
but, I mean, like, and so that goes for, Epic, that goes for like, for all you. The, just, that goes for all the Pixar movies. Like, those are all catered towards everybody, you know?
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
But you didn't go see Fast and Furious, but.
No, my wife did, and then she stole all my friends and went to go see it at a midnight showing. So maybe you can ask her how that was.
Where's Ashley's corner? Where's that?
Yeah. Oh man, she's fired. How was it? You went to go see it, didn't you?
But no, not Fast and Furious now.
Oh yeah, that's right. You went to go see Hangover.
I did. I went and saw Hangover.
Hangover 3, to be specific.
Right.
What'd you think?
Oh man. How was it? It was.
Wow, that's a long pause.
I'm trying to gather my thoughts about how I felt about it. It was funny. It had some hilarious moments, but overall, it fell flat with me as well. Like. I don't know.
But you said it was funny.
It had some funny moments. Don't get me wrong.
Okay. Because
like, they're funny movies. But, okay, so they finally broke away from the typical Hangover, I guess, you know, standard of what their movies are. Oh, man, we woke up and some crazy crap happened. Let's retrace our steps and figure out what happened. That didn't happen at all. And I think part of the problem for me was the entire movie, even though they said that wasn't going to happen, I was waiting for it. The whole movie. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, who's going to drug you and what crazy shit's going to happen? I really felt that they, kind of like what they did with the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, where they wrote the movie specifically for a person, an actor to play a character. So like Johnny Depp, that's all they wrote the other Pirates movies for. He did so good in the first one, they're like, let's make more and let's just make him the star. And that's what I feel like they did with Zach Galifianakis, is that they had this movie and they just gave everything to him. And so every line of dialogue that was funny was from Zach Galifianakis, which is fine because he's a hilarious comedian. But at times it's just like, Zach, shut up and let, you know, Ed Helms say something funny, or the guy that plays Chow, you know, like, I don't it just got a little tiresome almost at times,
because essentially it was just their movie.
Yeah, it was Zach Galifianakis drags Bradley Cooper and Ed Helms along for a movie.
Oh, that stinks.
And again, it had some funny parts, and then there were some, like, you know, like hilarious parts. But again, at the end of the movie, like, those moments didn't make up for the whole thing. And Melissa McCarthy, every scene with Melissa McCarthy was just so funny.
Oh, really? See, yeah. I've kind of not liked her a lot anymore because of the fact that she's kind of a one trick pony, and that became evident during the what awards did she do, or what she host? I think she did not the Oscars, it was the Emmys. I think it was the Emmys or something like that. I don't know. She's always just got the vagina jokes. That's all she does.
Yeah.
And so it just gets old. It just got really old.
You're thinking of Rebel Wilson.
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah. Yep. Melissa McCarthy.
Never mind. Sorry. Yeah, different chick.
Rebel Wilson did the MTV ones.
That's right. I get them confused.
Yeah. No, Melissa McCarthy, you know, she was on like Gilmore Girls way back in the day, and then Bridesmaids.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And then she's got that movie coming out with
what's her face?
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock. That looks really funny.
Yeah.
I like her. I like her.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad.
She was freaking hilarious. And I don't know if it was her, but like the exchange between her and Zach G were just hilarious. And
so overall sounds like it was a funny movie.
It just didn't
live up to your expectations.
I don't know. Like, okay, there were funny moments, but then there were a lot of like time in between those funny moments where it was
just kind
of
dead air.
It was a lot more serious.
Ah, okay.
Than the rest of the movies. To kind of give you a plot synopsis, in the first movie, apparently Chow stole some money from a guy named Marshall.
So they try to tie it back together. Is that what they're doing here?
Yeah. Oh, and they even have clips from the first movie when like Black Doug. You know, they're like, dude, you're supposed to give him this and you gave him roofies. He's like, oh man, Marshall's going to be pissed. Well, you find out Marshall is, and like, he's like, oh, you owe me for this. And by the way, remember that Asian dude, Chow? Yeah. Well, he stole like 40 something million dollars from me and you're going to get it back, or I'm going to kill Doug, like their friend Doug. So then he like takes Doug. And so now they're trying to find Chow and like get the money back. Like, that's the whole movie.
But that was last movie. Like, find Chow because he owes me money.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that works.
Yeah. And Chow's broken out of prison in, you know, Bangkok or whatever, and he's in Mexico. So they go to Mexico, and then they end up back in Vegas.
All right. Well, boring. And
the funniest part of the movie.
Don't give it away because I may see it one day.
The funniest part is the end.
Okay, like, that's all I need.
During credits. Like, that's terrible. But, I mean, you know, it did like one of those, like, end of the movie. Credits, 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 credits. Final scene. Fucking hilarious final scene. Like, I wish that had been the opening scene, and then we'd gone from there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll look it up.
It was so funny.
Final scene.
But again, overall, it was one of those, like, I see that they tried to change things different from the second one, but I still feel that they kind of fell short, and it seems that most people kind of feel the same way.
Yeah. So. Well, usually can't beat an original. So.
Yeah, I mean, the first one was just the funniest movie, and. It's a shame they didn't just stop there.
Yeah, they should have. It would have been an instant classic, and then just everyone would just be like, "Oh man, I wish they would do another one," but we'll never see it. You know.
Yeah. So.
Anyways, let's check out what's on Blu-ray this week.
Buy
box. That was a loud intro.
Yeah.
I don't see anything big releasing this this week, except for a lot of older movies.
Yeah, a lot of re-releases. I think maybe the newest one is Dark Souls. Yes, is that the new one? That movie that came out a couple months ago with that what I'm thinking it is?
Yeah.
Is that it? Yes, Kerry Russell.
Oh, okay,
Josh Hamilton.
Oh, from the Rangers, and now he plays for Anaheim. Can't believe he got a job in a movie. Josh Hamilton. That's crazy.
So that's the dude's name. J.K. Simmons. I think this is the one with the...
the aliens and the stupid...
The aliens and the... movie. Yeah. Looks
right,
dumb.
So, Dark burn Skies. It. Buy box or burn.
Burn it.
Burn it! All right. Let's go... Let's pick out another one here. What do we got? What do we got? Doctor Who on Blu-ray.
Okay, this is season 7, which is the current season, part 2, which is this is the one thing I like that BBC does. This freaking ended like 3 weeks ago, and see, it's already on Blu-ray.
Oh, sweet.
So, like, you know, none of this like wait 6 months or whatever until it comes out. Like, this show literally just ended and it's already coming out on Blu-ray. But since season 7 sucks, just box it. Wait till it's on Netflix.
Okay, how about Airheads?
Buy it. The movie is hilarious.
Bedazzled.
I'm gonna say I did not enjoy it, but I know some people that did, so box it.
Box it. All right, we'll go a little old school here, and we'll pick out we're gonna pick out something that Jumping Jack Flash with Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, man, that's a good one. Buy it.
Buy. And one more. We'll pick out one more. Ooh. You pick it. You pick this one. We got.
Well, it looks like Despicable Me's being re-released, I guess, on Blu-ray. I don't really know why that's on the list, but it's on there. So box it.
Box it. Awesome. Well, guys, I hope that we provided you with an excellent show for your drive to work, or maybe... we help you fall to sleep, or you listen to us while you're cooking, or maybe even in the John. We don't know. But we thank you for listening. We hope that you come back again next week for another episode. Spread the word. Tell your friends. And we hopefully will see you at one of these conventions. I am your amazing-looking host, Jeremy.
And I am your better-looking host and taller and have the much sexier voice, Doug.
Well, he's got me on the voice thing, but nothing else. So, me and my bearded friend will be back again next week to talk more movies, TV shows, and Hollywood. Until then, have a great week.